It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back. Here we go again. It's More Golf is Ruining My Life. Tom Price here. I am currently in my little study studio. And joining us also, of course, is...
your other friend, your other golfing companion, your other golfing comrade. It's Thomas Benjamin Green in a studio in London.
Yeah, do you know why I did that, right? Because I was listening to the news agents the other day, and they always do that, doesn't... like Emily Maitlis goes, it's Emily in Paris, and it's John in Los Angeles, and I just feel it gives us a little bit of weight, you know what I mean? A little bit of ballast.
Yeah, so it's Price in North London, it's Green in the beating heart of Soho.
That's right. We are golfing broadcasters taking you to the front line of the pain and suffering. Actually, that's a pretty accurate feeling at the moment, golf-wise, because... I was supposed to play golf on three separate occasions this week, Tom. And how many occasions do you think I have played golf?
I bet you've not got out this week. The weather has been terrible.
Not a once have I played golf.
Is this through you going, I don't want to play because it's too wet, or is this course closed, waterlogged?
Course closed. It's like, I imagine, you know, if you make a bowl of cereal, not that you do anymore because you're so healthy.
Yeah, it's just protein shakes for me.
Of course. It,
you know.
But imagine, back in the day, you'd make a bowl of cereal and you might nip out and maybe you'd make a tea, or you'd go next door, or you'd maybe go for an extra long toilet visit, and you'd come back and it would be so soggy. The cereal would be so soggy. That's what our course certainly feels like at the moment. Just a curdled bowl of cereal.
I think we're having quite a hard time of it at the moment, if I'm honest. The rain that we've had over the last few weeks, I think is probably going to knock courses out until Easter.
Do you really think so?
Even if it gets warm and hot and the rain goes away for a bit, I think we've had a bit of a sodden couple of weeks. That's going to be quite hard to shift, which is so depressing.
Well, February is supposed to be the driest of the winter months. But of course, you know, we all know why it's happening. But it's just like, oh, God. I mean, I was worried about climate change, but if it's going to affect my golf, now it's really serious.
Yeah, and this is where it hits home, right? This is the thing that's going to get you. You're not going to be flying private anymore, are you? Now you know this. This is what it's doing to the environment.
I am going to get an electric plane.
Can I give you a bit of a behind the scenes story? I went behind the scenes at Cobra Puma.
I am so jealous about this. So jealous. So take us through what it's like in there. Because to be honest, it feels a bit like I'm there now, because behind me are two boxes of swag, which Cobra Puma have very kindly sent us, some of which belongs to you, which is hilarious.
You've got a couple of size 8s in there, haven't you, knocking about?
I've got size 8 shoes, yeah. I don't know what to do with these. I might, maybe my 10-year-old can wear them. But unnecessary.
That's so
unnecessary.
Rude.
It's so rude and also deeply untrue.
Correlation between the size of a foot...
sure.
Bar the sock size. That's the only correlation there is.
Correct. But I am desperate to know what it's like under the bonnet, behind the scenes. Tell us.
I think we have to be a little bit careful maybe what we say here. And I think you might have to be a little bit careful with what's in your box, Tom, because I don't think everything that's in your boxes behind you is public knowledge.
Oh, my.
The thing. Do you know the thing that we've been talking about?
Yeah.
That one thing that I love and you've now got.
Very clever you're saying the thing and not pair. Very clever.
Yes.
Because it's so secret. Really nice. Really well done that.
That's not been released yet. That's not in the world. Puma and Cobra are going to release something. I think I can say it's apparel that has got me really excited and is going to be a really cool thing that they've never done before.
They're in my hands. Sorry, it is in my hand.
Stop giving it away.
Soz. It's got a lovely grip on it. I'll put them off. Nice. And I love the cavity back. Nice. Yeah, there you go. And the laces. Oh, no, hang on. Oh, wait. No, it is exciting. And they do, as I was saying to our pal there, what I love about them is that increasingly their stuff just feels like I can just wear it in real life. This isn't golf stuff anymore.
No, that's the crossover they've done, is they've gone really casual. But the thing I'm talking about, I don't think you would wear. Or maybe hit. Or maybe you would hold. Who knows what it is?
But that what's cool about it is that they've gone, look, we've got these bits and bobs, which actually you can wear cash in real life. But also, because we're so cool, we can actually go hard into proper golf. And right. That's what these are. It is very much that. It is gorgeous.
No more. It's so exciting. I'm genuinely, when the thing happens, you'll all know what it is. And just think about this moment. But anyway, I was at Cobra Puma on non-podcast related business, hence why my golfing husband, you, wasn't there. Mm.
Yes, you're having an affair.
I was having an affair, yeah, about some wedding-related golf things. So anyway, the first time I'd ever been there, we've been invited quite a lot, but we've ended up going out for lunches and stuff with them in the past. We've never actually been to the Puma Cobra headquarters, right? Yeah. And you go into this lift and you go up on this floor, and the whole floor of the building is six or seven different showrooms, like shops, make-believe shops. So with items in, but with no tills to buy them. And each room is dedicated to a sport. So you go into one of the rooms and it's all next year's running gear. And then you go into a room and it's all next year's F1 gear. And then you go into a room and it's all the football gear.
Did a little old man with a walking stick appear and say, "Welcome to Puma Park"? Did that happen?
It was very much like that. On the side, on one of the walls, there was all the Puma story, big moments from the years, big moments in Puma's life, like the Ricky Fowler moment. And then I got walked into the Cobra Puma Golf showroom.
No.
And
can you tell us anything? Are you looking at next year's stuff at this point?
I'm looking at next year's stuff.
Okay. So are we seeing clubs? That's my first question.
I've seen a few clubs. I've seen a few clothes. I've seen a few shoes.
Is there anything? Obviously, you definitely can't tell us anything, but bearing in mind this is a thoroughly audio medium, is there one thing in particular that makes you go, "Oh, wow"?
Now, what I would say about that is the one thing that makes Puma stand out in the past is it's been more casual wear, hasn't it? It's been the more relaxed golf look, and I think they've absolutely nailed that with the hoodies and then the jazzy t-shirts and all this sort of stuff, and I think they do that so well. But I do think there's an appetite in the golfing world at the moment that you've got that apparel look, that sort of like cool casual hoodie look, but then you've got the more traditional golfer look, which I've not seen Puma do so much. And I'm just going to say, if that's the sort of thing that you like, there's a couple of pieces that will really tickle your fancy.
Three pieces. We're all going to look like Bertie Wooster next year. Plus fours from Puma. No, I
golf in black tie.
And I really think, and I don't want this. This show is not, and never will be, and never has been, an advert for Cobra Puma. We do have a relationship with them, and they help us out, and they're brilliant. But I think it speaks to something really interesting about golf, which is that, you know, historically, everyone goes, "Oh, golfers wear crap." You know, ha ha, lols. You know, you're playing golf, you must wear rubbish clothes. But I do love golf clothes, and I've come to love them more in the last couple of years. I love having different stuff to wear. It changes how you feel when you go on the course. Like, what is your number one outfit? You get it out the night before. Because years ago, Tom, I don't know about you, but when I played golf, I had like two options, and I'd just wear always the same trousers, always the same trousers. And I love having different options. That it changes. It does have an impact on my golf.
Do you have a favourite thing to wear then? Have you got the one thing that you like to on a special day?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, it's the pink top. I love the pink top. And then I actually really like the Royal and Awesome stuff. That's very bright, very very bright and flowery.
Yeah,
I'd like one of those shirts because they've got a nice elasticated thing, so you get a bit of give after you've had your sausage roll. And I really like the tight trousers, which are probably going out of fashion now because I've just discovered them. Because
the joggery type ones you like, don't you? You look good in them because you're tall. You really smash that look. I think
I could never have, like, mate, a year ago I first saw Simon Dyson wearing them and thought, what are you wearing? And now I love them. They are easily my favorite trousers. But here's the chat. It's Club Champs Day. What are you wearing?
I've got a top which I got as a present this year. Mm. And you know, you got family friends and they buy you a present, and the present they often get you is a bit crap, isn't it? They're buying you. It's like it's more of a gesture, really. It's a bottle of wine. It's a whatever. Yeah. It's you know what it is. It's four comedy golf balls. It's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And our family friends this year just smashed it out of the park.
Go on.
They bought me a golfing top in blue from Sandy Lane in Barbados.
What?
And this is going to sound weird, and it's not weird when you see it because you can't even tell the detailing, but it has this like blue and white detailing all over, and the blue and white detailing is little Dachshunds.
Oh.
But you wouldn't know. It sounds mental when you say it like that. But when
you've got your turtle top.
It's tiny Dachshunds. And I think is it Peter Miller or Peter Millar? That's the guy that made it. Yeah, it's quite high-end stuff.
That's high-end, yeah.
That's my favourite thing to wear.
Lovely. I love that. Well, I've got, similarly, I went to Disney last year. I did a job in Florida, and I bought a bright orange top with Grumpy, I think, is the little emblem, looking really annoyed and snapping a golf club. And I really, really like wearing that. It's probably not quite as high end as the Peter Millar. But yeah, I think you got to go something bright. And then I'd like nice black tight trousers, not necessarily the jogger ones, if we're talking Club Champs Day, and then some very nice shoes, like really high-end shoes, but only if that was a thing. But you know, that's what I'd probably go for.
What's the saddest thing that's ever happened to your golf clothes? Because I've got such a good story about like something that you've always wanted and that it's been destroyed through golf. Have you got any of these?
Yeah, so I had a pair of really, really nice shoes back in the day. They were Echo, I think, golf shoes. This is 10, maybe even 15 years ago now, and they were in my size, and they were my only golf shoes. And I loved them. They were so comfy. And I went and played down in, I want to say, not far, somewhere in the southeast in a tournament day. And I left them in the dressing room, as you always do.
Oh, okay, fine. To go for a drink or whatever.
Yeah, to go for the obligatory drink. We have to wear a jacket. God, that makes me mad.
Oh, God.
Oh, that makes me mad. When they say, yeah, bring a jacket down for after. No. No, I'm going to shoot off in that case. I've never had that happen to me, by the way.
I've never witnessed that.
Different circles, mate.
That's true. You're high end, aren't you?
Yeah. It's from years ago. And it wasn't even a high end event at all. But I think, actually, do you know what? 15 years ago, come on, golf's changed a lot since then. Thankfully. And I went back afterwards and the shoes had been nicked.
What sort of club is asking you to wear a jacket and also in the same breath is having members that would steal your shoes?
And they were so nice. They were really, really good ones. Size 13. And I remember them really well. And every now and again, I see someone wearing them and think, and almost want to say, what size are those?
Where'd you get those from, mate?
Yeah. I honestly, do you know what I did? This is absolutely true. I've never told anyone this. I checked on eBay for about 6 months afterwards.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that in the past.
Have you?
Yeah. I had a wallet stolen in Soho and I checked on eBay for ages and I think I found it as well. And they told the police and they said they weren't bothered.
You know,
they didn't care. They had bigger fish to fry. I bought the Nike. Oh, what were they? Nike golf shoes, but they were like Nike Air 97s or something like, or like Air Max 90s or something like this.
Yeah.
Well, let me find them online. Can you just entertain the listener while I
more than happy to help. I think people talking about their golf shoes is it's an interesting one because I no longer have only one pair. I'll have a winter pair and a summer pair, which I never used to do before. And I never knew anyone else who did that. Everyone just had a pair of golf shoes that just got absolutely knackered. And now most people I know will have different shoes for different times of the year, which I think is a, you know, once more triumph of marketing. But
right,
also,
I can't find the exact ones, but they were the Nike golf shoes that were like, they had like waves almost down the side and they were stupid money and they were proper fashion shoes. And within 3 weeks, they were absolutely knackered and I was gutted.
Because you use them on the golf course.
I just use them on the golf course. We don't play in America. It's when you see all these Americans, it's the same story when you see golfers wear white trousers. It's great because they're professionals and that's probably the first time they've worn those pair of white trousers. You wear white trousers in the UK, you quickly learn they go grey very quickly. And it's so depressing.
Like they've been made out of old bra.
Yeah, it's an old bra colour. It's not nice. I just remember just being so gutted about it because I'd saved up for them and I was really happy with them and they just gradually, went to a colour of awful.
You're teeing off on the Club Champs Day, right?
Mm.
What's the new glove?
No new glove because I don't like to throw an unknown into my game like that.
Interesting.
That's a crazy unknown. That's like running a London Marathon in new trainers.
Oh, is that not a thing? You would never do that.
Are you a bad man? That's like going.
No, I'm saying because I haven't
gone play the Club Champs with a brand new set of irons you've never hit before.
Yeah, fair. That makes sense. It makes sense. I would put on a new glove because I think it gives you a nice grip. But yeah. I also brand new ball, right?
Of course. Unless I had one ball that took me all the way through my last round of golf, and therefore I sort of had a bit of maybe is that lucky about it. Do you ever have that when you there's a golf ball that miraculously lasts you like two or three rounds of golf and you sort of think, this is the ball that could get me to the PGA Tour?
That's how I discovered TaylorMade. I found one. I was always a tightless boy. And then I realised that my two or three best rounds were all happened randomly to be with TaylorMade. And I was like, right, that's that then. I'm a TaylorMade guy.
And then from there, you've always played TaylorMade.
Yeah, but with absolutely no feedback. Unless there is something, maybe I think I do really like a softball, but I just happened to play well with a couple of these TaylorMades and I kept noticing that I wasn't losing them and I played decent with them. So that's it. That's how it works. That's what, advertisers need to realise. Just if I owned a golf ball company, I would get loads of them and just chuck them around golf courses and let people find them.
It's such a good idea. I hope people find them and fall in love with them.
Yeah. Seriously.
It's such a good idea.
Talking of advertisers, it's time for some of these. Hang on.
Oh, stick it in. Oh, that sounds weird. Don't do
Welcome back to Golf is Ruining My Life. What is your golf ball then on Club Champs Day? Is it Titleist?
Titleist Pro V1X every single day.
Can I interest you in a Bridgestone? Have you ever gone Bridgestone?
I've Bridgestoned. I've TP5'd. I've used the TaylorMade Picks ball. I've used them all. I've tried them all, but I will always just come back to the Titleist Pro V1X. It's the number one ball in golf for a reason, and it's soft and it's amazing and it lasts long. I just love it.
Every single time I'm watching a tournament on telly and someone does a putt and the ball just rolls up by the hole, I really hope that I see the brand so I can know what ball they're playing. How sad is that?
Of course, but I would say the majority of the time it will be a Pro V1, I would think.
I think, do you know what? I mean, God, I love this podcast because we can really get into the weeds here. God, I love being able to do this. This is so dull, but I just know you're going to love this. The golf ball whose rise has surprised you in recent years. There we are. How's that for a subheading?
Oh, okay. I got to say, I
think we're going to say the same ball. I think we're going to say the same.
We're not.
The ball that... go on then.
I'm going to say the Kirkland.
Oh, yeah, but that isn't that because they're from... You get them at TK Maxx or something?
You get them from Costco and they're supposed to be made in the Pro V1 family, but in factory.
Yeah.
Sorry, what are you going to say? You're going to say TP5.
No.
You're going to say Vice. You can say Vice. Vice
golf. No, Vice is... Yeah, no, I'm not interested in Vice. The ball that I see more and more people playing with and it surprises me, and it's not Srixon because they're a bit Amazon cheap, Callaway.
Okay, yeah. They've.
I just feel like I still go, oh yeah, Callaway do balls. I still have that initial reaction. Even though like Rahm plays Callaway, huge players play with Callaways.
And contracted though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. But if I see that moment, it's not because he's found one. We got there, John. It's Callaway 5. It's I found it.
Can you imagine?
I love that idea. But it's. It still surprises me when I'm nerding out and I watch that putt go close and I look and see, oh yeah, he plays Callaway, does he? All right, okay.
Can I ask you a really golf nerdy question?
I mean, that's exactly what we're here for. Can I just say, we are recording this on Friday afternoon and I'm supposed to be going for lunch with my wife and I'm delaying that so that we can talk about golf?
God, just another way she's going to hate golf. The past it was just the sport, now it's the golf podcast.
Yep.
So, strap yourself in for this one because this is a bit of a headbender.
Okay.
So I've been going on this journey. I've been talking about it quite a lot, about me slowing my swing down. And we've posted loads of videos about this and had a really mixed reaction from our friends over at TikTok on swing speed. And I want to clarify with what I'm going to say here. And I messed up at the start. I said, slow your swing down, you'll get better. What I mean is slow your backswing down, swing more controlled. Mm. We've had a load of comments. And this statement is true, okay? There is a link between swing speed and lower handicaps. But what I'm saying, Tom Price, right, there is a link between swing speed and lower handicaps, but is that a causal relationship?
Oh, and
what
and
I
egg.
Mean
chicken
by this,
egg.
What mm. I mean by this is things can be linked without one of the other things causing the other.
Yeah, they're consequences of being better at golf. Not,
you know.
It's not, yeah, it's not connected.
More girls have long hair. You don't have to be long hair to have a girl, to be a girl. It's a relationship without being causal. What do you think of that?
I think that's a very good point. I think that so what you're saying is people with, let me just clarify, people with the slow swing tend to be better. Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying that people out there on TikTok are saying to you, no, you've got to swing fast to be good?
Let me just restate what I'm saying.
Yeah, good. Okay, good. Love this. Love this.
I'm saying, so my statement is, if you want to get better, you need to slow your backswing down and swing more controlled.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. And we're getting loads of comments online saying, the quicker you swing, the more speed you have, the lower your handicap is. And there is data to support that.
Yes, but I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay, good.
The quicker the speed of the swing, the lower the handicap is, which is true. Those two things do track. But my question is that a causal relationship? E.g.,
no, it's not.
I want to lower my handicap, so I should therefore swing faster.
Exactly what you mean, and it is not causal. It is because the reason their swings are fast is because they are so good. It's like they've gone slow to lock in and get in the groove and find that spot, and then slowly over time with talent they have been able to go faster. Don't just think I'm going to skip to the fast bit. Don't just think I'm going to buy a helmet that makes me a Formula One driver. They have earned the ability to get to that speed and be that good. So it is not about speed. For you to go and just jump to the top of the ladder and go, right, I'm swinging fast now like them, therefore I'm going to be good, is completely erroneous.
And that, I think, is the crux of the matter, is that this is where I think data is misleading when it comes to swing speed and lower handicaps, because yes, there is a relationship, but it isn't a causal relationship.
Yeah,
therefore,
to
get better, don't just swing faster, because that's what the data shows.
But to go the other end of it, to play devil's advocate, there is a problem with swinging too slowly as well. You've got to be really careful. There's nothing worse. And I was watching a Rick Shields video the other day. Who? My God, he's a Instagram. Yeah, he's a guy on. He's on.
We all love him. We all love him.
I mean, I do love his videos. I was watching, and this takes us into the chipping topic, which is one of my favorite topics at the moment. His chipping is absolutely appalling.
Because he decelerates.
He decelerates.
Yeah.
You just look at it and go, well, you've just decelerated, mate. What are you thinking? You've gone all the way up there and you've gone bleh, and done this sort of, and it's almost not even decelerating. It's like he deflates. He's just sort of, you know,
it's crazy because
so
I've noticed that watching his videos as well. And I'm a 10 handicapper and Rick Shields is a PGA professional. I think, and I would never be as bold or as brass to give advice to someone whose job is golf and plays far better than I do.
Yeah.
But I think the point you make on his deceleration is really obvious when you watch it. And I think it's just because he doesn't have confidence in that part of his game.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And he's, you know, in that video I watched the other day of him with Tommy Fleetwood playing
it.
Yeah, I've
seen the same video.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. But my God, it tore Rick's game apart. He got like a 7 on a par 4 just because he flubbed 2 chips. I mean, it's devastating. And it comes back to this central premise that your chipping is where it's at. If you are off about, I don't know, anywhere between 18 and 21, say, and you can learn to scramble, you will drop 10 shots. You can halve your handicap by just practicing your chipping.
Yeah.
Because you won't necessarily get up and down every time, but you will get close, and those 6s and 7s will become bogeys and pars. And it is massive when you're in that range. Absolutely massive.
But this is what I think is so important about golf advice. And as I get older, I think the importance of language and how you articulate yourself is so incredibly important, because advice can be misunderstood so easily. By me saying, slow your swing down, that actually doesn't mean one thing. That means so many different things to so many different people. You might then start decelerating, or you might start slowing down on the way through, which is not the advice I'm giving. My advice is control, slow on the backswing, power through on the through swing.
Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago when I started thinking I'm going to hit this ball hard, and I couldn't believe the difference it made. But here, there's a difference, and this is the thing people, I don't think, quite appreciate. There is a difference between hitting the ball hard and swinging fast. Those are two totally different things.
I've got a question, but I want to find it, and I don't know where it is. It's on my phone somewhere. Let me just try and grab it.
Okay.
It's a really, really good bit, and I wanted to ask it you for the last two podcasts. And
oh, God.
I can't.
I love that. I have a little notes on my phone of things to talk about on the podcast. I will say, actually, while Tom has a look on his phone, we've continued to get lovely emails. Thank you for the messages, and keep them coming. thetoms@golfersruiningmylife.co.uk. I think if Tom and I can find time, we'll do another emails special.
Definitely.
And chuck it in the mix, because it was really nice just to go through stuff. In fact, the one we did the other day, if you haven't listened to it, I had to leave early. we still got loads to do, basically, so we're definitely going to do one. So listen, throw yourselves into the ring. Let us know, what are your plans for this year? How are you approaching your golf? What are the highlights you're looking forward to?
Do you want to read the email that we got this morning?
Oh, what, from Holbrook?
Yeah, it's a good email.
Yeah, we could finish on this.
I just want you to, I just need you to pad while I find this.
Yeah, fine. So Holbrook's been on. Price, he opens, because actually, do you know what? He replied to me. He sent an initial email. Morning, boys. Listen to the podcast in the gym this morning at 5 a.m.
Go to jail for life.
It's just like, you might as well just send us a picture of your bicep. Unbelievable. I've had a caddy lots of times, he says. The Trilby Tour, twice, because I got to the final, which was on Sky Sports. Yeah. We might have watched that.
I love it. I think I watched it.
Had a caddy when I played the old course the first time, not the second time, when I started Birdie Eagle. The direction of travel of this email is very much, but it's very boasty. You're in a boasty place at the moment, Holbrook. I don't know if it's those testosterone tablets you've been taking. Anyway, I replied to him saying, lovely to hear from you. Didn't say any of the sarcastic things I've just said. and I said, what are your aims for the year? Do you want to get down to scratch? Because Holbrook's off about two. And he said, no, never set a handicap target. It's like I've sort of, you know, an offensive question. No, I'd never set a handicap target. I'm all about the metrics that are trackable throughout the year. See attached. And he's attached a note. If I hit this goal, then scratch is available. Come at me.
he's a man that knows stats unlike anyone else. He tracks his game so incredibly.
He's not Matt Holbrook, he's Stat Holbrook.
Oh, there we go.
And do you want to hear his 2024 golf goals?
I would absolutely love that.
Make 160 birdies.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. How are you tracking that?
I have no idea.
Oh, he's got those things in his club, though, hasn't he? That's what
Argos.
He's got. He's got Argos in his club.
He's got Argos. He goes to Argos. A little tiny pencil. A putting average of less than 31 at Stowe. That's one of his courses. He's a member of two courses. GIR at over 45% at Stowe. No idea what that means. Stowe scoring average of under 75.5. Shoot under par. Top 10 club champs. Gross. Finished top 10 in one County Open. And that is how Holbrook's year is going to unfold. And he's even put, this is what I love here, Tom, little tick boxes next to them. So as he goes, he can actually literally tick them off.
The man is incredible.
He's great. I love it.
I can't find this question, and it's going to really wind me up.
Well, listen, I've got a feeling there'll be more podcasts.
I'm going to find it for the next episode, because it was a really interesting thing about a 18 handicapper and a 10 handicapper. But yeah.
Okay. So listen, we're recording this now, well, on a Friday. This will go out on Monday. Weekend golf chat vibes. Obviously, that's just happened when you're listening to this. I hope you've had a good weekend of golf. Mine is very dull, unfortunately, Tom. I'm going to take the boys up for their lessons, but I don't get to play, which is agony.
Yeah, I'm not playing this weekend, which is an absolute killer. I've got to go to church and do a full day at the church that we're getting married in. Welcome to my life, lads. Welcome to my life.
It's incredible. Basically, anyone who's in the run-up to getting married, the church uses you as a sort of Oompa Loompa for a year or so.
Yeah, I'm churching, I'm not golfing. There was a question that I really wanted to ask on the show today. And what's the reason that I wanted to ask this is we've done a lot of content recently around halfway huts and this sort of thing. And I didn't realise the topic of a halfway hut would make me sound online like the unapproachable 1%. I didn't realise that a halfway hut chat is only given to the upper echelons of the golfing society, the sultans of Brunei of the golfing world. Is this true? Because clubs I've played at have had some form of halfway hut, or am I just...
That just leans into it, mate, when you say that.
Yeah, am I just an utter silly golfing knob?
No. They're not the hot tubs of the golfing world. Don't worry about it.
Good.
I know plenty of courses that have got halfway huts. Ours didn't used to have one, and it got one fitted. I mean, basically, it's a big shed about 10 years ago, and it is brilliant.
When it's open, am I right?
Guys, if you haven't got staff, just do an honesty box policy. It's really simple.
Said it once and it a million times, right?
I absolutely love the halfway hut. I realised the other day I was having a wee in the bushes on the 9th, and I was like, oh, there's a toilet in the halfway hut. Soz, everyone.
Literally, we put this in for you.
Oh, my God. Sorry. We're at time, mate. We're actually physically at time.
Can I ask you one final question before we go? I'm really, really annoyed that I can't find this question, but I will get it on the next next golf podcast. Right. The reason that I wanted to ask about the halfway hut thing is, do we think in 2024 golf is still a posh person's sport?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. I would say it's still a man sport too much, as George's video that went viral last week shows. I think that it depends who you ask. And I think that, by nature of the fact that it is played on private land, that's going to have implications for costs, and the type of person who plays it as a kid, and you have to play it as a kid, or you often have to play it as a kid to really get into it and get good at it. I think it still is. That's my hunch.
See, I come from this from a different place because of the fact that I played golf in Preston as a junior.
Well, yes.
A golf club that was so open.
Yeah.
And the mix of people I played golf with as a kid is incredible.
Yeah.
And was far more an education in the people around me in Preston than it was to any sort of upper echelons or anything like that. And I just think it maybe marks me out as slightly different. And maybe that's why I struggle with understanding why it's a posh person sport, because for me, it never was.
Well, it's a bit like, say, rugby, right? In Wales, where I grew up, rugby is not posh. Rugby is played by everyone, and it's a very working class sport, and everyone goes to watch it. The big games, your nan is as likely to be there as you are. You go to England and watch rugby at Twickenham, it's all the, boot cut blue jeans brigade. So
it really
does depend on... a lot of it's to do with locality. I was interviewing Tom Davis on my other podcast.
Another podcast?
Yeah, don't talk about it. I need to bring that up. My mate bought a toaster. See that. And Tom Davis, brilliant comedy actor. I said something self-effacing like, oh, I love golf. I know, surprise, surprise, middle-class white man loves golf. And Tom Davis was like, well, you say that. I grew up in Essex and it's massive out there. And it's massively working class playing golf in Essex. You know, it's not... So it really is... It is a lot of it is defined by where you are. But... I think the way I answered your question was in terms of the optics, how it is perceived by random people. And then you were always going to get, you're still going to get that initial, it's played by posh people.
Yeah, because if you speak to people in Scotland, it's the people's sport.
That's
right. It's everyone plays it.
Yeah, of course. But only 3 months a year because of the weather. But there you are, says the person whose golf course is currently closed.
Yeah, you've got to go for lunch with your wife.
I'm going to go and have a what was a brunch and now has become a lunch.
Yeah, go for dinner.
And discuss our divorce. listen, enjoy church this weekend, Tom Green. And let's meet up and worship golf next week, shall we?
I wish I was worshipping at the altar of the fairways. It sort of works, doesn't it? It's actually all right, that, to be fair.
Yeah. Namaste, amen. All the best, kind regards.
See you, bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Podcast Network.